Church family, we're going to wrap up our series we started several weeks ago, Followers of Jesus, Then, Now, and Forever. We took a break last weekend because we had a very special guest that was with us, Pastor Charles Niemann. How many of you enjoyed his relevant message on restoration and recovery? It was powerful. It was such a blessing to host him. And he loves you. He loves this church. We're going to be reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. So out of love, respect, and esteem for the reading of God's Word, please stand to your feet. And here is the Word of the Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the Apostle John. We thank you for the Holy Spirit inspiring him to speak these words, to write these words, that in the beginning, whenever that was, Christ was already in existence with you, the Father, and with the Holy Spirit. Thank you for what this message will mean to us as Christians, people of the way, followers of Jesus Christ. I pray and ask your blessing now upon this message. May we have ears to hear and hearts to receive it. It's in the name of Jesus I pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. If you were with us week one, we talked about how Jesus is the way. And because he's the way, we are to follow the way. And we are people of the way. And so that means we have to dump Twinkie Christianity. And then the following week, the very next week, we declared that Jesus is God. And because he's God, that means we don't have a designer faith. We can't just pick and choose. He is the final authority in our life. And this week, well, what's being declared through this message of John is that Jesus is the Word. And to follow Jesus means that we're going to follow the Word, His truth. Jesus is the Logos of heaven. He is the ruler of all creation, and as a ruler, He has rules. John used an interesting Greek word quite spectacular in John's day, universally known in John's day as a title for Jesus. He said, in the beginning was logos, the Greek word logos. And he used this Greek word to describe to us the personhood of Jesus. And the whole known world at that time did a double take when John said, in the beginning was logos, and logos was with God, and logos was God. Because here's what the Greeks knew about this very spectacular and popular phrase, term. Logos means reason. It means logic. It meant intelligence. The intelligence of the universe to the pagan Greeks. But to the Christians, John said, Jesus is logos. He's the intelligent expression of God. Logos is God. Logos was with God. It meant God's knowledge, God's message, God's language, God's communication, God's report, the meaning of all life. Logos represented the meaning of all life, the wisdom of all existence, the rules of living. Jesus is the Word. He is Logos. And Logos makes sense of the world we live in. So Logos rules. And we all know that rules are essential to our survival, because rules create order. See, the opposite of order is chaos. Therefore, we need rules, we need social norms in order to live our lives around the complexity of life. And that's what rules do. Rules help simplify. Rules are standards, they're values, they're principles that we as human beings universally agree to and we live by. Let me give you some distinctions. Rules are external actions or choices that are decided from the outside. You walk into a gym to work out. If you sign up there, they have listed on the wall the rules. They are external, somewhat arbitrary, but they're their rules. And if you're going to be a part of their gym, you have to follow them. So rules are from the outside. Principles are internal actions or choices decided from within. You have your rules that you live your life by, and then you have your principles. And then there are laws, legal and binding rules set by the government to maintain order, by protecting people and their property. And then there are commandments, God's divine commandments of divine origin, and they must be obeyed. So whether rules, principles, laws, or commandments, violation of any of these will come with varying consequences. So to follow Jesus, Logos, the Word, he's the ruler, and as the ruler, he has rules. And rules are important. Imagine playing a game, any game, a board game, or competing in the Olympics without rules or without rule enforcement. If you eliminate rules and referees in any sport, in any game, it will destroy the integrity of that game. And it would cease to be a game of competition, and it would become a comedy. How many of you have played sports in college, high school, junior high, elementary? You played a game for recess when you were a little kid. Raise your hand. Okay. We all understand games have rules. And without the rules, games aren't fun. Even small children will invent their own games, but with those games, they'll have rules. And they'll let one another know, you're not playing according to the rules. Because rules create order. And without rules, well, there's no competition. There's no game. It's just a big joke. Hey, I want to give a shout out to our Trinity Christian School men's boys varsity team. They were runners up in the state championship, came this close in overtime to winning the state championship. Some say it's the best high school game. Officials, people that are not associated with our school, said it's the best high school state championship game they've ever seen. No, it would have been better if we won. But you know why we didn't win? Because referees did not apply the rules equally across the board. Yeah, if you don't win, you always blame the referees, right? No, I'm just kidding. Referees did a great job. You don't want to leave it in their hands anyway. But we understand rules. Take soccer, for example. It's actually called football around the world. It's real football because they use their foot and they kick a ball. Foot, hence football. We call it soccer. FIFA is the international governing body of all football. It was founded actually in 1904 for a handful of countries, you know, that were a part of this new game, this competition. Belgium, Denmark, France, Germany, Netherlands, Spain. But something happened. It grew. Today, there's 212 distinct different nations that are associated with FIFA. And what does that mean? They have a unified, codified system of rules that govern the game of football. So, Mexico could be competing against North Korea in a football game, and the referees could be from Sweden. And despite the differences, the best team will probably win because they're all playing according to the same agreed upon rules of football. So breaking the rules weakens the integrity of the game. There are universal rules that the ruler, the Logos of heaven, has set and established in creation. And we see that society around us is collapsing because we simply cannot live in a world without rules. Man can only exist with a clear set of codified rules. And we all agree. There actually are a certain number of rules that we live by, and it just makes being in community with one another a whole lot better. I mean, for example, if somebody stretches out their hand to shake your hand, it's kind of an unspoken rule. You shake their hand. We're kind of a little skittish with that now, and we want to go with the fist pump, right? But that's a rule. Here's another rule. You're not supposed to stand close enough to a stranger where you touch arms or hips or elbows or anything like that. That's why being in the center seat on a Southwest Airlines flight is the worst place to be other than hell. Especially if you're between, you know, two people whose arms overlap the armrest, because you're touching the whole flight and it's so uncomfortable. Rules. Here's another rule. One man never hugs another man for more than 1 second unless it's a close family relative. You say, hey, what's up, bro? God bless. 1 second, boom, and then you let go. If it's 2-3 seconds, it gets a little weird real fast. Just rules. If you hit or bump into somebody accidentally, what are you supposed to say? Excuse me, or I'm sorry. That's just a rule. If someone sneezes, you say, Bless you. It's a rule, especially in public places, to flush the toilet after you use it and then to wash your hands when you're finished. Yet 70% of men don't follow that rule, and they want you to shake their hand. Just saying. Rules. You don't text while on a date or engage in conversation with another person. That's just rude. That's a rule. You don't chew with your mouth open and make loud sounds while you're eating, unless you're alone or eating with your pets, and then have at it. Everybody say, rules rule. It's hard to say, but Jesus is the Logos. He's the intelligent wisdom, reason, logic of heaven, the expression of God, the word of God, the knowledge of God, the wisdom of God, the rules of heaven, rules to live by. Rules are essential. Rules are necessary, whether in public spaces, or organizations, dinner parties. There's even grammar rules that apply to writing in all languages of the world. Relationships have rules. Life is rife with rules and regulations, and not all of them are bad. Nature itself is governed with certain rules, laws, cause and effect, gravity, thermodynamics. Biology is covered by certain rules, certain laws based on science. They are objective. They're not subjective. No matter what you think, no matter what you feel, because the facts don't care about your feelings, as one guy has made popular that statement. The fact is, he created us male and female, created he them. And every cell in your body declares scientifically, you are either a man or you are a woman. These rules are essential to living. Because if you erase the rules or change the rules, you affect the integrity of the game, and that's why women's sports is at great risk. All the gains that women have made in women's sports is about to be wiped away if a person is born biologically a male but chooses to be a female and compete in female sports, friend, that's going to ruin the integrity of the game. God, may you give us back our sanity once again. So what happens when those rules are wiped away or those rules are changed? Hey, friend, those rules were here or put here for the first place. You better think twice before you remove the rule. You better replace it with a better rule, because the result will be chaos. You see, friend, there's a growing appetite among many in our country today to tear down the tried and true structures, the societal rules that built the greatest nation in the world, the United States of America. Law and order is under threat and under attack. And think about it. If these radical revolutionaries succeed, what will replace the current system? Nobody's even talking about that. At least our founding fathers, who were part of the original real revolution, they had a well-planned and thought-out system of governance that built the greatest nation in the history of the world, which is now in serious jeopardy. You see, freedom has three stages. Freedom has to be won. That was the Revolutionary War. Freedom has to be ordered. That's the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, Constitution, and the Bill of Rights. Now we got our freedom, we won the war, now what? Now we need to build a civilized society and culture, and so we look to the ruler and his rules to build our nation upon. Freedom must be won, freedom must be ordered, and then, here's the hard part, freedom must be sustained. Rule following and rule enforcement, or else, as I think Toynbee said, nations don't die by murder from without, but suicide from within. Now, I know the old saying, rules without a relationship produces rebellion, and that's true. But a relationship without rules will be ravaged. And rules must rule. Three reasons. Number one, a rule is not an end to itself. Let's say that together. A rule is not an end to itself. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew 5:17. Don't misunderstand why I have come. It isn't to cancel the law of Moses and the warnings of the prophets. No, I came to fulfill them and to make them all come true. Here's what Jesus was saying. He's saying there's a difference in means and end. A means to an end. They're different. Don't conflate them. Keep them separate. Understand that the means justifies the end more than the end justifies the means. So here's what the Pharisees and the Sadducees did in the time of Christ. They worshiped the means and not the end. The law was a means to an end. The law was there in place as a schoolmaster, preparing us for when the real Savior appeared, Jesus the Messiah. The law never could save man. The law simply revealed to man his need, his desperate need for God and for atonement. And so the law was our schoolmaster. The law was a means to the end. All of the ceremonies and festivals in the Old Testament were a means to an end. The end is Christ. So when Christ appeared, he says, I am the ultimate focus of the law. I am the fulfillment of the law. The law could never save you, but I can save you. So we don't worship the law. We worship the lawgiver. We worship Christ the Lord. Come on, let's thank him. We worship Christ the Lord. You see, relationships deteriorate when we make that relationship a means to an end. Your spouse is not a means to an end. They are the end. It's about them, not about what they can do. It's about them, loving them and serving them. Children are not a means to an end. They're not to provide some yuppie lifestyle, you know, a nice house, nice car, two kids, and, you know, you've got the perfect whatever American dream. They're not a means to an end. They are the end in and of themselves. All that we do is a means to the end of raising them, of loving them, and then sending them out to change the world. Money is not an end in itself. When money becomes an end and not a means to an end, that's when we get into problems. That's why the love of money is the root of all evil. It's when we confuse means with ends we get into trouble. So, Jesus, the law was not the end in and of itself. It was a means to an end. But in the time of Christ, they were worshiping the law, and they were not worshiping the lawgiver. And Christ said, I did not come to cancel the law. Has a whole new meaning today, doesn't it, cancel? Like, we are full-blown in a cancel culture today. Dr. Seuss and Mr. Potato have been banned from children, while predators still target our children all over social media. Of all places, Russia, in the news this past week, Russia will ban Twitter from their country in 30 days if that platform does not remove illegal content, including child pornography, information on committing suicide, and drug-related content. Twitter versus Russia. Who's the real tyrant, Dorsey or Putin? When we are getting moral instruction from Russia, America is in desperate need. Are you following me? Twitter bans former President Donald Trump and others who have conservative points of view and yet allows predators to still be on their platform. Shame on you, Twitter. A rule is not an end to itself. Number two, not all rules are equal. Let's say that together. Not all rules are equal. Here's what the Apostle Paul said. Colossians chapter 2, beginning in verse 20. You have died with Christ, and he has set you free from the spiritual powers of this world. So why do you keep on following the rules of the world? Good question. Why do we keep on following not the rules of heaven, but the rules of the world? In context, Paul, writing to the Christians of Colossae, he lists some of them, verse 21, such as don't handle, don't taste, don't touch. Such rules are mere human teachings about things that deteriorate as we use them. In verse 23, these rules may seem wise. There's so many rules in our society today, they may seem wise, but they're not. These rules, sometimes, God forbid that you were raised in a religious home and not a relationship-based home of Christ, that the means become the end in themselves. And so it's all about rules and rules and rules. And many times they're not even God's rules. They're man-made traditional rules that detach us from relationship with the living God. These rules may seem wise, Paul said, because they require strong devotion, pious self-denial, severe bodily discipline, but they provide no help in conquering a person's evil desires. So friend, not all rules are equal. Not all rules are the same. How many know some rules are bad, some rules are evil, and some rules need to be broken? Can I get a witness in the house of God? For example, it used to be a social norm to treat people of color as second-class citizens. How dumb is that? That rule was a bad rule, and that rule needed to be broken. There are evil rules that must be defeated. Hitler's rule, and as a ruler, was defeated, but Hitler is dead, but many of his anti-Semitic, anti-Jewish views are still alive in the world today. So not all rules are equal. Now, think about this. We live in a society today where more people are uptight about you not wearing a mask to protect themselves from getting COVID than we are in protecting the unborn from termination. Something is wrong with that picture. You see, friend, here at Trinity, with other like-minded citizens in our community, Christian people, are continuing to take a stand for the unborn. It's shocking that Planned Parenthood selected 13 names of law-abiding, concerned citizens in our own community, two of which are members of this church, and sent a list to the Lubbock Police Department, which conducted an open-source search of these 13 concerned citizens. This was leading up to the January 29th and 30th March for Life in our own city, in our own community. Why? All because these life-embracing citizens wanted to make Lubbock a sanctuary city for the unborn are now being targeted by the abortion industry, and that is shocking. And what's done to one is done to all. We must be fairly warned, church. It's a very dangerous precedent, matter of fact, which is being set in our country where free speech and the defense of life is being criminalized. And we must stand up and we must speak out and we must be motivated by love, but we cannot back down. Think about this. Think about this. Taking innocent life is legal. Standing for the defense of that life is becoming criminal. The social norm of taking of an innocent life is shifting. More and more people are becoming pro-life minded. And because of this trend, this movement towards life, those that are profiting from the abortion industry are running scared. And may they continue to run scared, because in the end, life will win. I said in the end, life will win, because God is life and He gives life to all. So number one, a rule is not an end to itself. We don't rush worship the rules. Number two, not all rules are equal. Some rules need to be defied, and some rules need to be changed. And number three, rules protect us, but they don't save us. Let's say that together. Rules protect us, but don't save us. Look at Galatians 2:19. Here's what Paul wrote to the legalistic Galatians. What actually took place is this. I tried keeping rules and working my head off to please God, and it didn't work. How many of you have found yourself there in your own Christian growth and struggles? You tried to keep the rules, worked your head off to please God, and it just hasn't worked. Join the club. So here's what Paul said. So I quit being a lawman so that I could be God's man. In the end, it's not about keeping laws. It's about following Christ, following His decrees, following His laws, but not worshiping those laws, and knowing that no one can ultimately keep the law of God. That's why the law of God had to be written in our hearts, and it is relationship-driven, and it's not rules-driven. Come on, somebody. Rules are good, and rules are necessary, but rules in and of themselves are not sufficient. And Christianity is not a rules-based religion, if you want to call it that. It's relationship-based, but like all relationship, it has its rules. And God's rules should rule, because He is a ruler with rules, and Jesus is the Logos of heaven. And you see, God's word is our owner's manual. Where would we be without God's word? Where would we be without the revelation of God? As the Bible was being written, in the Old Testament, God spoke various times through the prophets who came with a thundering word of God. Moses was able to go to the mountaintop and write the holy commands of God. God wrote them with his finger on stone. He was able to take those commands and bring them down to the people and then stored them in the Ark of the Covenant and said, here are the commands of God. And there are only 10 of those commands. And they're not complicated. Sarah, who heads up our online community church, opens the services, welcomes you and welcomes those online, and then closes it out. And we have a Q&A at the end of a live service. I go out there, and she asked a powerful question last night. She said, Pastor Carl, you know, some people think and believe that maybe the Bible is, some of the commandments of God are outdated. I said, no, the commandments aren't outdated. People are outdated. I mean, if commandments are outdated, like, which one is outdated? Do you think we should go ahead and start murdering people? You think adultery is okay? You think lying, cheating, and stealing is okay? You think we start making graven images, take the Lord's name in vain, and not worshiping God on the Sabbath? I'm like, what commandments? You know, he only has 10 of them. What commandments are outdated? God's commandments are not outdated. God gave us his holy commandments to guard us, to guide us, to protect us, so that we could be holy and whole. H-O-L-Y and W-H-O-L-L-Y. Holy and holy. You see, like FIFA has international rules that govern across all cultures and traditions, God's word governs across all cultures and all traditions and applies to all believers around the world forever and ever and ever. Not one word will fall short until all be fulfilled, Jesus said. God's word, our owner's manual. It is our instructional handbook. You see, here's the good news, friend. You're still under the manufacturer's warranty. You know the bad thing about buying a new car is when that warranty ends. You're treated totally different. And it's somehow that car knows the day that the warranty ends, it starts having problems. Like, it waits until the warranty ends today, right? That 36,000 mile one and 1 mile, 36,000 and 1 mile, all of a sudden you have engine problems. But you see, you're still under your manufacturer's warranty. And if things aren't going well, go to the owner's manual. Hallelujah. And schedule an appointment with the heavenly service department. And when you call, you won't get a busy signal. You see, friend, God's given you an owner's manual because, well, you're a Rolls Royce and not a Ford Pinto. So if you're trying to go to the Ford Pinto to find and get some instructions about your life, you're not going to find the answers because you're not a Ford Pinto. You are a Rolls Royce. You were fearfully and wonderfully delicately made in your mother's womb, knitted and put together by Almighty God, created in his image and in his likeness. Woo. So here's the big takeaway from today's message. Jesus rules with rules. It's his rules. We want to honor, we want to follow, but there are means to an end. We don't love the rules, we love the ruler. And because we love the ruler, we want to follow his rules, but not by trying to please him. You're already pleasing to him. He already, not because we want him to accept us and we want him to love us, he already loves you, he already accepts you. And we have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, and no one's perfect. And sometimes, as I said during communion, we find ourselves in a mud hole. And Christ is there to help us get out. And though a righteous man falls, will he not rise? You fall, get up. You fall, get up. You fall, get up. The rules are there to avoid chaos. And the rules must be followed. Jesus is the Logos. He's the ruler, and he has rules. But here's something dangerous. Listen very carefully as we close. Many in our culture and the church today believe they can separate following Jesus from the Bible itself. This is a slippery slope, friend. People today think, hey, Jesus is cool, but the Bible, it's outdated. It's a relic. And they actually believe that you could love Jesus and follow Jesus, but not accept the entirety of the Bible. Because the Bible is so outdated and so judgmental. That's what they say. There are many outside the church who feel it's their calling to rescue Jesus from the Bible. So many in culture today, when they talk about Jesus, it's not the Jesus of the Bible. It's not the Jesus of both Old and New Testament, because the entirety of God's Word is Jesus, not just the Gospels. People say, well, Jesus never talked about that in the Gospels, but he talked about it in the Old Testament. He talked about it in the Epistles, okay? Like, Jesus isn't just, he's the Word, not a Word. He's the Word, Genesis to Revelation. The entirety of the revealed wisdom and divine truth of God is found in the Bible. And you can't separate Jesus from the Bible. But I'll tell you what, man, Hollywood's doing a good job pitting Jesus against the Bible and Christians against the Bible. They're one and the same, friend. I sent somebody a what's this called again? Make a cross. What's it called when you, like, good luck or something, right? I sent somebody this emoji and they sent back a prayer hand. Like, I can't believe Pastor Carl used that emoji. You know what cross fingers represented? They represent the cross of Jesus. So if you send an emoji, that means Christian, okay? Whatever. I'm making this sign again. It's something like, he's lost his soul. No. Stay with me. Jesus and the Word, you can't separate them. People say, oh, when you make a wish or you make a statement, you cross your fingers. I guess. So, no, it means they're together. And if there's anyone in your life or anything that you're watching or reading or listening to that is in any way hinting there's a difference between being a Christian, following Jesus, and this old-fashioned, bigoted, hateful book called the Bible, run, don't walk, run as fast as you can away from that mentality, that philosophy, and that ideology, because Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and Jesus is the Logos of heaven. He is the ruler, and he has rules. And the only way we can know Christ is through his Word. Thank God for the Bible. Now, we don't worship the Bible. And our understanding of the Bible is not 100% complete. Paul even said we look through a glass darkly. Peter said there are things Paul wrote that's hard to understand, that some twist to their own damnation. So in the essentials, we have unity. In the non-essentials, we have liberty. But in all things, we show charity as we are working out and walking out our faith. But here's what you know. Here's what you can know. There's been 2,000 years, the Nicene Fathers, and 2,000 years of Christianity. There are some things we know that are completely non-negotiable, 100% true. Jesus saves. Jesus is Lord. Jesus came in physical form, born of a virgin, died on a cross, buried on the third day, was gloriously raised from the dead. He was Emmanuel, God in human form. He and he alone is the Savior of the world. There's no other way to the Father except through Christ. Those are the essentials that we must have unity. And oh, by the way, this is God's book. This is God's Word from Genesis to Revelation, codified. It is the sacred canon of Scripture. Everyone in this book was either a prophet in the Old Testament and was quoted by Jesus. You know, it's interesting. Every prophet in the Old Testament was either quoted by Jesus or the apostles. And every apostle that wrote the New Testament was handpicked by Jesus to be his spokesman. Over 1,500 years, 40 different authors. And yet there are no contradictions in this book. The only contradictions are in your heart or in your mind. My heart, my mind, but not in this book. It's withstood the test of time. Nations have risen and nations have fallen, but the Word of God still remains, and it will be here after America is long gone, after Western civilization is long gone, after Islam and Buddhism and Hinduism is long gone. This Word is eternal, and it is the truth, proven historically, archaeologically, and even in some ways scientifically. Empirical research and evidence substantiates that this book is of supernatural origin. You can depend on it. and only follow a preacher and only follow a priest and only follow a church and only follow a denomination and only follow a spiritual leader to the degree that they are upholding the Word of God and following the dictates and the truth of God's Word, because Logos is the Word. Come on, stand to your feet. Give God a hand clap. Cheer to the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you that you're the ruler that rules from heaven, and you're the Logos of heaven, and we're following you in these last days, Lord God. Hallelujah. Pastor Nathan, our worship pastor, said, hey, why don't we end this series with that old song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. I said, that's a great idea. So let's sing this song together, and then I'll pray and close this out. And go with me and follow Jesus. No turning back. You might stumble, you might fall, just get back up, but there's no turning back. Sometimes we fall, but we never turn back. We never go back. Go back to what? Disappointment, discouragement, darkness, death? No. We just keep following Him. And I know there's a difference in making a decision for Christ and making a disciple for Christ. Jesus didn't say go in all the world and make decisions for Christ, but discipleship begins with a decision. And friend, I hope you've made that decision. And I hope that you're more firm today in that decision than you've ever been in any other time in your life. And if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you need to rededicate your life to Christ, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. The Bible says in Romans 10:9, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved, period. But it's so important that you say this prayer with your own mouth and you mean it from your own heart. Here we go. Let's say it together. Dear God in heaven, I know I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. There's only one Savior. His name is Jesus. I call upon you, Jesus. I ask you now, come into my heart, come into my life, be my Lord, and be my Savior. I turn from sin to the true and living God. I receive His love, His grace, and His forgiveness. Dear God in heaven, you're now my Father, and I am your child. Fill me now with the Holy Spirit and give me strength to live for you, serve you all the days of my life, beginning today for the rest of eternity. And let's sing that song one more time, the first part of it.